We're going to now come to the reading of God's Word, and that can be found in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. That's page 1223 of your pew Bibles. This is our third of four in our very short sermon series on 2 Peter, and the title of it, as you'll know, is Divine Power. This passage is entitled False Teachers and Their Destruction. So this is the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet, even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you, with eyes full of adultery. They never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, They are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that was washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Amen, and may the Lord bless and challenge us by the reading of his word. Let us just pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, how it instructs us in our lives. And Lord, we just pray now and we ask that you will, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to your word and what you want us to hear. Be glorified, Lord, now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm doing really badly today. I've entitled this sermon, Divine Power and False Teachers. So Abigail, as you know, she's 4 and a half now, and she's learning to read. The other morning, she said this to me. She said, Daddy, she's reading her Bible, so she can read and the and said, basically. But she said, Daddy, my Bible has too many saids. And you know, she's right. A children's Bible is full of saids. It's a Jesus said, God said, Moses said, and said. There's saids everywhere. But you know, the Bible is God's word to us. These words that we find in the Bible are the words that God said and is saying to us now. And this passage tonight is all about the danger of false prophets and of false teachers, of false voices into our lives and the damage that they can do. As I thought about this passage and that word said, I wonder just how many things do we allow to speak into our lives? And are they true or false? Let us look at the false teachers Peter was talking about. How do you know false teachers? Well, if you'll open up your Bibles, keep your Bibles hopefully open, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. We will know false teachers by their teaching. It will be full of heresies, false teaching which leads to wrong belief and division, untrue teaching which leads others to false and wrong belief. Heresies also means division. And this is what happens when we listen to false teachings. Division. And division is destructive. The source of our teaching is important. This section comes straight after Peter's powerful words in chapter 1, where at the end of chapter 1 he says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to know the Word of God. We need to know our Bibles so we can spot false teachings. So we, as a people in a church, we need to check the preachers. We need to listen to the preaching with our Bibles open, taking notes, ensuring that what we hear is what God is saying. Norman quoted from Timothy last week where he said, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to allow the Word of God to teach us, to rebuke, correct, and train us. So we need to listen carefully to it, and not simply to take someone else's word for it. Also, Scripture equips us for good work. And the good work of the church is unified. God arranges us, the church, the people serving in the church, as he sees fit for his glory. We are like parts of a body. So there should be no division. False teachers bring division. If division is happening to a church, it will not do a good work. Then we really need to get back to Scripture and back to the divine power to see what is going wrong. We will know teachers or false teachers by their teaching. You know, they're crafty. As we read, that they secretly sow seeds of destruction. They were crafty, not up front. We would say they were devious. They probably knew that their message, if it was brought on full at the start, it would be rejected. So they had to be crafty in how they got their message across. Like today, if you look at the debate which is going on at the moment with homosexuality and gender identification, and the kicking that Christians are getting over it, being labeled and seen as wrong, bigots, and evil. This all started slowly. It was normalized through the media, and then bang, we are where we are today, with so many Christians deceived. Truth is never crafty. It must be honest and upfront, just like the teachings of Jesus. He said what he meant. We will know false teachers by their teaching. Their message basically consists of stories that they made up. We see that in verse 3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their teaching sounds good. Because, hey, we all like a good story, don't we? But the stories are their stories, not God's, not from his word, backed up by his divine power. In the church, we need to be very aware of this danger. If the word of God is rarely mentioned in a message, and yes, it sounds great, but it is not of God. We need to be wary of all of that. We will know false teachers by their teachings because they're basically empty and boastful words. In verse 18 there, for they mouth empty, boastful words. This follows on from above there. Without the divine power behind their words, they are empty. We also see that their words are boastful. And this is a danger for all preachers and teachers, boasting, bringing attention to ourselves. All the attention and glory of any message should always go to God. We preach divine power, not our power. So again, listen to a message and note where the attention is drawn to and judge from that. We'll know false teachers by their teachings. They appeal to our lustful desires. And that's in the end of verse 18. By appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature. If a message or what is around us starts to draw us towards the lusts of the old self and against and away from the new self, clothed in the Holy Spirit by the fruit of the Spirit and in love, then it is obviously wrong. It is against God and his divine power. As we read at the very start of this series, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. When we become Christians, we press forward with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, seeking and desiring godliness through his divine power. We should never, ever look back. We will know false teachers by their view of God. They deny the lordship, or as it says in the NIV, the sovereignty of Jesus, the Savior. And that's in verse 1 there. Even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. As Christians, our view of Jesus should be high. He is our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King. Anything else is too low. And then we need to live like that is true, with Him on the throne of our lives and not ourselves, living for Him. There is no place in Christianity for a low view of Jesus or a lower view of Jesus. Like we may hear people saying, "Oh, you know, yeah, Jesus, he's our way. There's other ways to heaven, you know," or, "Yeah, he's a king, but, you know, you have to listen to all this other stuff." Or, "Yes, you have Jesus, but you also need to have and you need to do and you need to believe X, Y, and Z." Believing in Jesus as our Lord, as our Master, as our King, and following Him is vital. It is vital to our Christian walk. Any other way, we'll get lost. With Jesus as Lord, our lives are changed because we are no longer the King of our lives, but He is. And that is a great thing, to have divine power in charge. We will know false teachers by their motivation. Greed. We see that in verse 3. In their greed, these teachers, greed, selfish desires motivate false teachers. They are in it for themselves. As Christians, our motivation should be like that of Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve, to be selfless, to be sacrificial, to give His life and to suffer for us so that we could know God. He was all for God, all for us. Divine power frees us from greed. Our motivation in our lives must be service. You know, I was thinking, you know, if there are tasks that are too low for us, we think are too low for us to do, you know something? Then we need to work out what our motivation is. We have a motivation problem. Then another motivation is the sinful nature. And again, we read that in verse 10. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Verse 14, with eyes full of idolatry, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable and are expert in greed, an accursed brood. They feed the sinful nature and it rules them. Another part of their motivation is authority. They despise authority. They think they are bigger and better. We should all come under authority. False teachers refuse to do this. This is one of the reasons that I actually really like Presbyterianism. There's lots of them, don't worry. But the structure and the authority of Presbyterianism is great. It keeps our teaching true. It stops heresies. Because, for instance, I am accountable to you guys. I'm accountable to Norman, the session. And then there's Presbytery. Then there's the General Assembly. And that keeps us accountable. It stops false teachers. As Christians, we are under the divine authority and power of Jesus. And the one thing that I look for in Christian leaders is this area. Will they come under authority? Or are they constantly questioning authority, thinking they know better? Have they unteachable spirits? If not, then there is something wrong with their motivation. We need to have teachable spirits. So important to our Christian life. We will also know false teachers by their actions and attitudes. We see in verse 13, they revel living lives of luxury, feasting and drinking. And basically, what this means, I looked this up in the dictionary, to carouse and to revel, is to live a life of luxury usually associated with intemperate feasting and drinking. To revel, to live a life of luxury. This is the lifestyle that a false teacher is seeking out, who is motivated by greed and the sinful nature. And we must be really careful of this warning. I think this warning in particular as well. Because in today's society, This is basically the goal. That's it. That is the goal of today's society. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the temptation to live like this for us, it is huge. So we must run from it. Because it is the way of the false teacher and not the actions of someone who is filled with divine power. We also see their actions and attitudes. They're bold and they're arrogant. False teachers are full of self-importance. So they're bold. They are arrogant. What we are to be is we are not to be like that. We are to be humble servants. We are to be a gentle people who are full of not ourselves, but are full of God, are full of other people and their importance. And we put ourselves somewhere else down the peg. We will know false teachers by their effect on the witness of the church. They bring the church into disrepute. It says in verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. These shameful ways, or as the ESV says, sensuality, is behavior completely lacking of moral restraint. Usually the implication is that of sexual licentiousness. And this is the opposite of living to how Jesus showed us how to live when he said in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our actions should never, ever bring the church into disrepute, but should shine a light for the Lord in this world. False teachers will bring that disrepute. They entice back to error. We see that at the end of verse 18. As I said before, we want to go forward in divine power and not backwards. But what is the end of false teachers? The end of verse 1 says it. Bringing destruction on themselves. Judgment and punishment. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. We see the examples in verse 4 where he talks about the fallen angels. In verse 5 where the ancient world in Noah's time and then in Sodom and Gomorrah. If they didn't escape punishment, neither will false teachers. They may be found out in time on earth, but at the time of judgment to come, when Jesus returns, verse 13 says, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done, an accursed brood. In the end, divine power wins. It says in verse 9, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from the trials. The righteous will be rescued. Through Jesus, we are rescued, forgiven, saved to heaven. So the fact is that we may have to go through some really tough times on earth as we fight against false teachers. But we hold on to the fact that we are on the winning side. Like Noah and Lot, we will be rescued. As I said at the start of the service, we need to be careful about what we allow to speak into our lives. We must be careful of false teachers in our midst in the church. We know what the signs are and the dangers. But we also know that divine power gives us all we need for victory. And the same is true in our everyday lives. Outside of the church, what are the false prophets, those false voices that are speaking into our lives? Pride, greed, money, materialism, sex, lust, jealousy, Anger, that feeling of not being good enough or of being too bad, being unforgivable. Just having a generally negative attitude. Always seeking achievement as the goal of life. Boldness, arrogance, addiction. As we fight against false teachers in the church, we need to do the same in all areas of our lives. This list that you see up here is a small example of the false teachers that we can allow to speak into our lives. They are heresies. False teachings that can easily damage our walk with God and cause division. They are crafty, all of these little things. They can sneak into our lives without us even noticing, until sometimes it's too late. They are not based on the Word of God. They appeal to our lustful desires. For example, those of you who know me know that I like cars. I was a mechanical engineer, so I like the engineering behind it as well. And recently, I'll not lie, a lot of people have been getting new cars. I've just noticed that, you know. And a few weeks ago, I looked at the wee i10. And you know, I was unhappy with it. I spoke to Andrea about it one day. You know, and I thought to myself, I would love a new car. And you know something? I started to think, you know, actually, I deserve a new car. All these people around me getting these new cars. Now, you need to know I've had the car for a year now. So that was ridiculous for me to want a new car. Besides that, it's actually a great wee car. Hyundai i10, buy one. Unless you're really tall. Anyway, but the problem is, and I discovered it this week as I was preparing for this sermon, is that I have allowed, and I had allowed, the false teachings of this world to get into my life. The false teachings of greed, of jealousy, of materialism. They got a foothold within me. And it wasn't good. And you know what they destroyed in my Christian life until I realized it this week? It's what I said earlier on in the prayers of intercession. It was thankfulness is what was attacked. My heart of thankfulness. Even my own prayer life over the last couple of weeks hadn't been thankful enough. I had got distracted. But I caught myself on. And I have been more thankful this week. I have been thankful for my wee car. And you know, I do love it. It's great. But it's funny how having an attitude of thankfulness changes how you think. And that was taken away from me because of the false voices I allowed to speak in to my lives. Or to my life, even. I was basically trying to put myself on the throne of my life. Thinking selfishly, and that started to push Jesus off the throne of my life. And Jesus literally said to me this week, be more thankful. He said, Stevie, well, maybe he didn't say Stevie, but be more thankful. And his divine power helped me to defeat the power of the false teachings in my life. We need to be so careful in this whole area of what we allow to speak into our lives and to influence us. Look at the list. These all can destroy us. How many families have been torn apart by lust, which maybe just started as something small and maybe even innocent, but grew into destruction? Or people who have never achieved their potential because they just always thought they were never good enough. Or people who are not listening to the grace of Jesus and think they're too bad, they're unforgivable, because they're not. It is only the divine power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we can defeat the false teachings and false teachers and voices in our lives. As Peter pointed to Noah, let us be like Noah, as he is described as a preacher of righteousness who walked with the Lord, did as the Lord said. He was saved because he didn't allow the false teachings, the false influences around him to lead him away from God. Or maybe you're like Lot. It says, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. You know, Lot's actually quite an interesting character. In Genesis, we read this, just as he was to be taken away from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Even though he was a righteous man and tormented by the wrong that was going on around him, he had to be led away by the hand from the city of Sodom. And he was rescued, but he needed help. The same principle stands for us here today in this whole area of the false voices that we allow to speak into our lives, about this whole list that you can see. Some, many of us just can't escape their power without help. We have tried by ourselves, but still the false teachers are there, destroying our relationship with God and with others. The divine power can help us. The Holy Spirit has put a united Christian family called the church around us to help us. And the biggest thing we can do is to ask someone for help, to take our hand and to help us to be rescued. So many don't do that, and they wallow in the sin, and they don't allow themselves to be saved. We need to see the church family around us and say, help me. That's why we have prayer ministry after our service, for people who can come up and be prayed for. We are here as a staff to help you. We have elders here to help. We are a church family. Please don't be like Balaam. As verse 15 says, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. God used a donkey to stop Balaam from prophesying against the people of Israel. A donkey. As they approached Israel, or approached the promised land, the donkey stopped Balaam. And then he didn't do it. He didn't prophesy a negative thing. He prophesied a wonderful message. But the Bible tells us that later on, he found another way to attack the men of Israel through the seduction of Moabite women. The Lord intervened, and there was one victory in Balaam's life. But he still fell to the power of false teachers around him, to that of money and of wickedness. Don't be like Balaam. Allow yourselves to be deceived. Let us be known of as preachers of righteousness. And if we need help to overcome the false teachers in our lives, let us get it. Because we know that divine power wins. So let us ensure that the Bible is the only teacher in our lives. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you to work in our hearts as we think through this whole area of those false voices which we allow to speak into our lives. Lord, if there is anything that we are struggling with, Lord, convict us now. If it has been taking us away from you, if it has been destroying our relationships, Lord, take it. And Lord, if we can't defeat it by ourselves, Lord, let us open our hearts and our lives to our brothers and sisters in this church and help each other to overcome. Lord, we want to be a church which glorifies you. Help us to do that by eliminating all the false things in our lives so that we will glorify you, that we will share your love in this world. But Lord, work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to finish the service by singing one final song. The beautiful song, You Alone Can Rescue. And it has, who, O Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still. So let's join in prayer and praise as we conclude our service together.